You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Shaka Hislop. We'll kick things off in the Premier League, and what a day it was in the race for the top four. Spurs with a massive victory away against Villa, very much putting them ahead in that race after Arsenal lost at home against Brighton. But first, let's kick things off, shall we? Talk about Manchester United's 1-0 defeat at Goodison Park. The Gordon's goal in the 27th minute proving to be the difference between the two sides. A big win for Frank Lampard's Everton, especially after that defeat against Burnley. For United, it's yet another low on what is turning in to be a nightmare season. This is what David De Gea had to say. We don't score, we don't even create proper chances to score. I don't know what to say, to be honest. A frank assessment there from David De Gea. Another defeat for United. Let's welcome to the show, shall we? Don Hutchinson is with us to reflect on what we saw at Goodison. Don, I know you're chomping in the bit. You want to talk about Everton. It's a big win for your former side. But once again, we see Manchester United failing to turn up.
It's just incredible, Dan. When Everton lost against Burnley, everyone's thinking, oh, it's Man United at home up next. That's a difficult game. But at the same time, I think everyone's looking at Man United thinking, well, Everton can take points off them. I didn't expect a win. I expected maybe a draw. But Man United, again, were so flat. They were so boring. They're dull to watch. It's almost like every single player is on the beach for them. They're on the holidays, where, in fact, it should be the other way around. If Ralph Rangnick's staying on and Ten Hag's going to be the manager that's coming in, I'm pretty sure the report card when Ten Hag takes over from Ralph Rangnick will be, we'll sell him. He's not committed. His heart's not in it. He doesn't run around. He doesn't close down. So you would have thought the players would be a little bit more wise to actually what's going on. Today was just another example, Dan, of a really flat performance.
I mean, the thing, Shaq, which would concern me, and we know, and we've talked about this a lot, how many of those United players are losing sleep tonight after losing this game?
None. In all honesty, and I think a big part of that is because of the club and this ridiculous decision to appoint Rangnick knowingly as an interim till the end of the season. If you know you're not playing for that manager, your future maybe does not hinge on impressing him, then what's troubling you after a performance like this? And let's be honest, this was as poor a game as you will see at the highest level of one of Europe's top five leagues. Let's make no mistake about that. At the same time, though, I see some of Rangnick's post-game comments that he tried to make changes to generate some creativity for Manchester United when he brings on Elanga for Rashford, like for like, Mata for Matic. I'm not sure why that's supposed to spark or that, in all honesty. Jesse Lingard stays on the bench. And as this game went on, and you recognise Manchester United's struggles, you look at that starting lineup, you look at that bench, and I couldn't be any less impressed.
Yeah.
I really wondered where the creative spark was going to come from. Outside of Bruno Fernandes, who did nothing, where was it going to come from? And then to add to that, Rangnick's post-game comments that I just mentioned about the changes, that it made no sense to me. So now we sit and we're talking about a Manchester United team that are sitting in seventh. If you have right now have absolutely no chance of finishing in the top four, and as poor a Manchester United team as we've seen.
Yeah.
Bar none. As poor a Manchester United team as we've seen, bar none, Ten Hag has a big, big ask ahead of him.
Stevie Nicol joins us as well. He's got a special jumper on. Stevie, you looked at this, and this could have been, Norwich-Watford, couldn't it?
Yeah, other than the fact that they had a Manchester United strip on, you wouldn't have known that it was Manchester United. The thing I took from this game is that this side doesn't like each other. This is a side that the dressing room has to be broken up. The troublemakers have to get toughed out, and you've got to bring good characters in. Because this is what a team that doesn't get on plays like. Nobody runs for each other. Nobody's backing anybody up. Nobody's running the extra yard for any reason at all. They're just all running around, just biding their time till the end of the season. Listen, these two sides are the worst. This is the worst Everton side and the worst Manchester United side that I can ever remember. But at least Everton had some fight and some spirit. This United side had nothing. They were going through the motions.
It's easier said than done. As we welcome in Jan Arge Fjordtoft, because Jan, you know, you want to clear out. Obviously, you know, you've got a lot of dead weights here. As Stevie said, clearly not getting on. But who's going to buy these players?
Well, that, I think that is a less concern for Manchester United. No, who do want to play for Manchester United is more a thing now. Because, I mean, I watched a lot of games today, and I think this Manchester United performance today, I wanted to look at the wall and see the paint dry. That was unbelievable boring. And I think that the thing as well is that the Manchester United fans now are very optimistic if Ten Hag will come in. But the thing is, this is nothing about who will be the manager. Because non-manager can kind of get that, like Steve is saying, that dressing room going. There's a lot of talking about they have to renovate Old Trafford. They should start with the dressing room and renovate there. Because if you saw that today, you saw sometimes you have people, fans, emotional fans, they say they don't want to do it. They don't want to run. They don't want to fight. They have no will. But today we had to use all the cliches. Because if you saw Everton today, I mean, they wanted that win. They were desperate for that win. Now, there was some lack of quality in some areas, but still, they fought for it. There was will all over the place. And when you look at the table of Manchester United, they're still in with a chance to be top four. But when you saw that game, it was like this. They had a sign up saying, we don't want to play in the Champions League next year, at least not for Manchester United. So this dream of a Ten Hag or a Pochettino, whoever, going to save them, forget it. This is management of big level. You have to get a big clearer, not even in the dressing room. If you look at the table now, they should be happy to get in the Conference League.
But Don, you look at the players within this squad, and they're better than the sum of the parts. You look, Jadon Sancho was so good for Borussia Dortmund last year. Marcus Rashford was one of the most exciting England prospects coming through the ranks. Paul Pogba's won a World Cup. We know what Ronaldo's done. We know what Bruno Fernandes did when he first arrived at United. Why has it gone so disastrously wrong?
That's why I got laughed out of town a couple of weeks back when I sort of said Galacticos, but this, for the same reason. For the players that you've just mentioned, you're expecting something. These are top-class players. You know, Ronaldo's in the conversation to be the best player that's ever played the game. That front four never got a kick today. Rashford, again, quiet. Jadon Sancho ripping the Bundesliga up last season, quiet. Bruno Fernandes today, he was trying passes, but they weren't coming off, quiet. There's just nothing about this side. It's almost, as I said before, if you're Ralf Rangnick and you're bringing Ten Hag in the summer, you'll be looking at this 11 saying, actually, how many do we actually keep on? There won't be many. So in terms of Ten Hag coming in and trying to get Man United to a top four or even a title, that's a million miles off. And if Man United are not careful, they might finish in sixth in a Europa League spot. They might finish in seventh, which would be worse, in a conference spot. Then all of a sudden, can you imagine the amount of games Manchester United have got to play next season? It's just incredible watching them, how much they didn't want the game today. Jan's absolutely spot on. Before the game, surely Ralf Rangnick must have delivered a team talk where he said, come on, let's win today. We give ourselves a chance. We can try and get some momentum going. Let's have a bit of fight. Let's show a bit of bottle. The one thing you want to do when you play Everton is you want to score the first goal, and you score the first goal against Everton, Everton crumble every single time. The first goal in this game was going to be crucial, and then Everton showed willingness, they showed spirit, they wanted to hang on, because it meant something to them. It doesn't mean too much to these Man United players. It's almost like, oh, we've lost again, there's another game next week, we'll try and win that one, we'll see how it goes.
Let's talk about individuals, Jan. We mentioned Jadon Sancho. Obviously, you saw him for Borussia Dortmund last season. He's not a £10 million player from what we've seen so far at Old Trafford, let alone a £100 million. Why? Why isn't he stepping up? Why aren't we seeing what we saw in the Bundesliga?
Well, he is far from it. I mean, as anybody else, I will guess that Jadon Sancho is a lot of like young kids. When you get into a team, you need a team to give you confidence and all that. And he is not a leader on the pitch. He need to be taken. He need to be showed. He need to be a part of a team as he was in Dortmund. He is far away from it. But I'm more worried about the likes of Rashford, because if you, and it has nothing to do with him as a person, this is just about him as a player. What happened to a player that's been in Manchester United for so long, developing, he looked like a great lad on and off the pitch, and suddenly you can't play football anymore? I mean, a Cristiano Ronaldo, you can say, the defense lawyer for Cristiano Ronaldo will say, well, he's old. Okay, yeah, okay, that's fair. But Rashford, what's going on there? Or what is going on with these players that we used to see as some of the most promising youngsters coming up, and there he stopped up. That he has to go back to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, that has got to be back to Ralf Rangnick. But I think that sometimes it also go back to the individual players.
What happens, Stevie, in a dressing room when it's like this?
Dan, I understand your point about Sancho, but actually Sancho's probably the last one we should be pointing the finger at and looking at. You've only got to look down the M58 to Diaz, who's just come into Liverpool, who's coming into a side who want good players, who want everybody that comes in to do well. He's joining a settled team. He's joining a team that's got ambition. He's joining a team that second isn't any good. And if we drop points, then we've got a problem. Every single thing I've just said there is the complete opposite of what's going on at Manchester United. So regardless of the price tag, you can't expect a young player to walk in and start performing in a team that doesn't take responsibility and it's got a lot of old heads. I mean, you think of somebody like Nemanja Matic, with the experience he's got, why is he not sorting things out? Now, we know he can't do it on the field, but him, Ronaldo, Fernandes, De Gea. De Gea's standing in goal complaining about everybody. How long's he been there? Obviously, you've got your problems with Maguire. You've got Varane. This is absolutely, the experienced guys are the ones we should be pointing the finger out, because it looks, and I'm including Ronaldo in this, it looks like none of them are taking any responsibility. They're all looking around, shaking their head as if, what's this guy doing? What's this guy doing? It should be straight in the mirror. What am I? What can I do? What am I not doing that I should be doing? And how can I help myself and help the guy next to me? That's not going on at United. And it's not the fault of the young guys.
Good point. If I want to say, Dan, Varane, he's getting away from every criticism. He comes there with all the Champions League trophies in his back pocket, and all people have a go at Maguire, and they have a case, of course. But Varane, that's going to be his brother who turned up in Manchester United, because he doesn't look like the player he was at Real Madrid at all.
The problems that you're all talking about, Don, seems like this isn't just a bump in the road. This is a massive pothole that's going to hold the club back for years, because it's not just a case of shipping a few players out and bringing them in. It's an overhaul of an almighty standard.
It's probably the biggest overhaul I think I've seen in the Premier League for a long time. I go back to when me and Stevie were at Liverpool. It feels like a bigger one than that. And Liverpool never won the league for 30 years. So the crossroads that Man United are at, in terms of how many players. I was chatting to a friend of mine the other day and I was saying, well, if you're Man United and you're smart, surely you can rake in by selling the likes of Martial and Eric Bailly, and the list goes on and on. You can reel in about £150 million. And he said to me, he said, go on then, reel off the players that people want to buy. And I reeled off the players. Jesse Lingard's on a free transfer. Paul Pogba's on a free transfer. Cavani will move on in the summer on a free. It's like all of a sudden there's not many saleable assets. So where on earth do they go to try and rebuild? The one person who's not even at the football club that might have the biggest say next season is Donny van de Beek. He's worked under Ten Hag, if Ten Hag's going to be the man that comes in. He might be able to get a tune out of him, but one player is not going to fix this. This is an almighty overhaul.
Yeah. If Van der Beek is the answer, we have to look for a new question.
Very true. Well, of course, another knock to their aspirations to finish in a Champions League spot. They are 20-1 now, according to the bookies, to do so. Not a good day for Arsenal. A very good day, though, for Spurs, thrashing Villa 4-0. They are odds on now to make it into the top four. I tell you what, Jack, this Conte guy would have been a good pick, wouldn't he, for United?
If only somebody could have seen this coming from Antonio Conte. And listen, a few weeks ago, I said there's still plenty of time for Spurs to be Spursy. And they have not looked back. They have been simply fantastic. Everybody else around them seems to look Spursy. And despite this result, despite the scoreline, this was not an easy game for Tottenham Hotspur. Hugo Lloris, who's coming for criticism, was probably their best player in the first half. Yet still, all of a sudden, you see a Spurs side be resilient in a way that the others simply cannot be. You've seen a Spurs side score goals through their usual suspects and have real character, real backbone about them that the others simply don't be, which we've just been discussing. And now, last meaningful game of the day, Spurs do this and just has everybody else trailing in their wake.
Stevie, you love the stat. 17 games, win-loss for Spurs. What's changed? Oh, I don't have to say all that win-loss again, do I? You can't hear me. I did all that for nothing. Blimey,
are you talking to me?
Yes, I said that's your stat. You kept banging on about it. 17 games they went. Oh, God.
I tell you what, don't kid yourself. When your centre-forward gets a hat-trick and he's not man of the match, you shouldn't get too carried away. I mean, when your goalkeeper's the man of the match, as I said, and somebody else has got a hat-trick, then I'm not sure all of this backbone stuff. Because if your backbone's that good, your goalkeeper's not man of the match. And he made a couple of unbelievable saves. So, it's a fantastic result. And when the final whistle goes, you go, wow, great. And everybody's clapping and everybody's patting each other on the back. I'll tell you what, I bet Conte wasn't patting MD on the back other than the goalkeeper at half time, because they should have been three down. So this Spursy patter isn't over yet. They're not out the woods. Yes, they've got themselves in a fantastic position. But other than the front three, they got annihilated by a Villa side that are stuck in the middle of the table. So they better not start counting the chickens too early.
Wow, Don, are you as critical as Spurs despite the result?
Not really, no. I think that was the difference. I mean, Stevie's right in terms of how the game went.
They should have been three down at half time, Don.
It doesn't matter, Stevie. They're going for top four and the best team out there at the moment.
Because it's never going to happen again.
They've got an elite manager who's dragging this lot, apart from the front three. He's dragging performances out of Kulusevski, who couldn't get in a Juve side. Bentancur alongside Højbjerg looks a brilliant match in terms of their partnership. Romero looks a real good centre-back where he's aggressive. All right, Lloris pulled off a few saves today. But, you know, when you see Man United lose today and you see Arsenal lose today, you think, ooh, tricky one this for Tottenham. They go away from home and beat Villa 4-0 and are in fourth for the game in hand. What a position to be in.
Stevie?
I'm just saying, don't get too carried away too early. Every single one of those players you mentioned, where was Bettencourt in the first half? He was chasing his tail. But all of a sudden, the front three catch fire in the second half. And listen, they were absolutely brilliant. Don't get me wrong. Spurs were absolutely brilliant in the second half. But I'll tell you what, as good as they were in the second half, that's how bad they were in the first half. So I'm just saying, don't count your chickens too early. It's a great result, but you shouldn't just stick aside a first half when they were absolutely hopeless.
Listen, I understand the point Stevie's trying to make, but we're not comparing Spurs with Chelsea or Liverpool or Manchester City here. We're comparing Spurs with Manchester United, I'll say no more about them, and Arsenal, who just lost to Crystal Palace and Brighton. So I think Don and I are more than entitled to say that they showed good backbone and all that. And compared to those two, we're not comparing Spurs with anybody else but those two.
but I think of what we are actually talking about. We are talking about managers. I mean, it just shows you that Conte, that ability to win football games, is not a bad habit to have if you're a great team. And Conte is showing that. And I think it was Don who said he's dragging it on there. But it's so typical because we have a keeper in our discussion round. It's a breaking news if they have a good game. Hey, get out there, do good games.
Jan, how much egg do the United board have on their face, given that they could have had Conte?
Well, it's a very good question, of course, because they don't get available, these managers. I think they had a bigger chance to get Conte than they have Tuchel. That seemed like that was a timing thing, that he will quit Paris, he will go to England and do Chelsea. Of course, now, I hope so, they will think that when ending up firing Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, they should have got one for Conte before, because it's not a... That is not... Breaking news too is that Conte is a great guy to build up football clubs. He's done that more or less everywhere he went, and he's doing it now at Tottenham. But I'm not sure if the Manchester United management have the possibility or potential to understand they've done a mistake, Don. Sorry, I have to disappoint you.
Meanwhile, as we mentioned, Arsenal losing back-to-back games. Of course, lost against Crystal Palace on Monday. They were at home against Brighton. And I'm sure not just Arsenal fans, just football fans in general, were expecting a response from Arsenal. They didn't get it at all. What was really disappointing, if you're a supporter of Arsenal in this game, Don, is the absolute lack of fight, lack of spark, lack of speed until injury time in the second half.
It was incredible. It was almost one or two things, that either Mikel Arteta didn't prepare his players and tell them about the Man United result, or the players didn't listen to him, because it was a perfect chance for Man United to do Arsenal's team talk. All Mikel Arteta had to tell the players was, Man United have just lost. We've got Brighton at home. We're kicking off in 10 minutes. Make sure we start the game fast. The first 5 minutes, I was calling the game. Arsenal came out tippy-tappy, tippy-tappy, tippy-tappy. They got closed down the midfield. Granit Xhaka was playing out of position at left-back, but that wasn't Arsenal's biggest problem. It was a lack of intensity, the lack of running around, putting tackles in, getting on the ball. They created nothing, went one behind, and I'm thinking, okay, they'll go in at half-time 1-0 down, but surely he'll deliver a team talk at half-time that gets his players at it in the first 10 minutes of the second half. They come out, first 5 minutes, 10 minutes, tippy-tappy, tippy-tappy, tippy-tappy. All of a sudden, 2-0 behind. And then with 5 minutes to go, they had a little bit of a go. They scored one with a minute left on the clock, and they had a little bit of a rally. But Brighton went there, and they couldn't have had an easier day. Brighton's second goal was a typical Arsenal goal in their pomp. It was pass and move, little back heels, flicks, finish on the edge of the box. Brighton were well worth their 3 points easily.
Arsenal were so flat, Stevie.
Yeah, well, the thing I liked about Arsenal when they were on that good run is they had two wingers in Martinelli and Saka who were taking on defenders and creating havoc. But then they also had Odegaard, who all of a sudden I thought, I'm beginning to understand what this guy's all about. He was connecting everything, he was playing passes. Obviously, Lacazette wasn't going to score as many goals, but they just looked in tune with each other. And then they had Smith Rowe to bring on as well. So everything was rosy in the garden. But somehow, somebody's burst the balloon. Because Martinelli and Saka couldn't get past anybody today. Lacazette never saw the ball. Odegaard did nothing. He may have scored a goal, but it was a fluke. Smith Rowe got substituted. So, you know, you have to give them a little bit of slack, because you're talking about young players here. And you can't rely on young players week in and week out. And with people like Partey are not playing, and your main man is Granit Xhaka, then, you know, it's tough to think he's going to rally the troops and carry this team to a top four spot. So right now, they're trying to figure out where it's all gone wrong. Because as we all know, you better enjoy it when it's good, because it can very quickly disappear. And it seems like it's very quickly disappeared for Arsenal.
Stevie, you're critical of Spurs when they win 4-0. Yet you're sympathetic with Arsenal when they lose 2-1 at home.
Well, I think, look at, hold on a second. Look at the front players for for Tottenham. You've got Min Song, Harry Kane, you've got the likes of Betancourt, and what's the kid's name again, Wade?
Kulusevski.
So you're looking at experienced players. Kulusevski. You're looking at experienced players. You look at Arsenal, and we're talking about three of the front four is Martinelli, Saka, and Smith Rowe. I mean, there's quite a difference in experience and quality that you can rely on week in and week out.
I think the main difference between Arsenal, Manchester United, and Tottenham is a player like Harry Kane leading the front. He's there. He's their general. He's doing the right things. I think that the assist he gave with his header today was fantastic when he just looked that Son was going on a run and he went in there just with his head, showed straight into his feet. And if you see Arsenal with all the kids, with Manchester United with no players at all leading them, that is the big, big difference. And I think that could be decisive to who will take the fourth spot for the Champions League.
Who's finishing fourth?
Right now, Spurs. I don't see Manchester United coming back into it. We've discussed them and how flat their performances are. The issue, and which has always been the issue for Arsenal, is that they have the toughest of the run-ins, and you wonder how that's going to tell now. And now, to Stevie's point, it's great having these talented youngsters, but they're youngsters. Mm. And when things are tough, who do you turn to for that guidance to keep things together? No party on the pitch today. I think the bigger misses for Arsenal are Tierney and Tomiyasu on that left-hand side. Granit Xhaka is filling in as best he can, but you can see everybody's aiming is picking on that left side and Granit Xhaka. And so now after two tough games where I think experience was Arsenal's biggest miss, how do you get things back together? It's great when you have youngsters playing well, winning games and continuing that run, but that lack of experience is not what drags you out of a bad spell. And that's my concern, especially with the tough games that Arsenal have coming now.
Stephen, who's going to finish in the top four?
Well, because of the front three, you've got to go with Spurs. I would definitely ask questions if I'm Conte about what's going on behind them. But I'll tell you what, right now, seem unstoppable.
They certainly do, boys. I imagine you agree, Don.
So Stevie's gone for Spurs, who have got no backbone, correct?
They could have...
I'm going Spurs, Dan.
I think Arsenal had me convinced about a month ago, and then I looked at their away fixtures, and they've got everyone. They've got all London derbies. They've got difficult games. They've got Southampton up next to it, a riddle. Then they've got Chelsea, Man United. Then their away fixtures are tough. I've got Spurs.
Jan?
Yeah, well, I have to agree. I don't like to agree, but because of Kane and Conte, I will say Tottenham.
Why don't you like to agree? Do you hate Spurs? Yeah.
Or do you just hate us?
I don't like to agree with all the people in the forum because that makes boring discussions.
Oh, wow.
But that's what my wife tells me all the time.
Wow. There we go.
I feel like there's a deeper message in
what won't be boring, surely, is Manchester City against Liverpool at the Etihad tomorrow. What a match that's going to be. Top of the table game. Let's take a look at the predictions. Has Jan agreed with everyone? Oh, my goodness. Only one person out of everyone is going for a Manchester City victory, and that's Mr. Sunshine himself. Whoa. Craig Burley is going for a City win. Stevie pretending he thinks it's going to be a draw, but really he thinks Liverpool is going to win it. Jan is going for a Liverpool victory, as is Don. Mark Ogden joins them at 2-1. Shaka going for a 1-1 draw. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Real Madrid cruise to a 2-0 victory over Getafe at the Santiago Bernabeu. They are 12 points clear at the top of the table. Gareth Bale, though, whistled and booed when he came on in the second half as a substitute. More on that in a moment. But first, let's welcome in, shall we, Luis Garcia and Sid Lowe. Luis, there haven't been many games from Real Madrid this season, despite the fact they're top of the table, despite the fact they've only lost three times, that they were so comfortable from start to finish.
Totally true. The game plan from Ancelotti was executed perfectly for today's resting player, no many runs, no injuries, trying to be a comfort result. And well, first goal in the first 45 minutes, well, that allows you to build it up and try to finish it in the second half. And that's what will happen. Then you give a rest to Benzema, to the players in the middle, so they can be ready to fight on next Tuesday against Chelsea. So Getafe never show up, not for a single second. Zero shots on target. That says everything about this game today. I think that Kike Flores was trying to be defensive, but the defense today wasn't in the right position. Today we've seen a very sloppy defense, poor defense in the two goals that we've seen. Lines in a row, not ready to react, not ready to close up. And at the end, you get two goals in a very, very easy game for Real Madrid. That, of course, they are looking forward to face Chelsea next season.
Sid, at the Bernabeu, they couldn't have drawn this up much better, could he, Ancelotti?
It was perfect for him, from really, wasn't it? Able to take players off early, able to make changes when he wanted to, able to win a game without ever really having any threat of players being injured, any threat of it being tense enough to cause problems for his team. There is one thing, Dan, which we shouldn't overlook, though. In the first half, when Casemiro got a yellow card, that's his 10th of the season. So that's his second cycle, obviously, of five yellow cards. He won't be available next weekend to go away to Sevilla at the Sancho Pizjuan.
Always some anti-Real Madrid rhetoric from Sid Lowe. That's what we can expect. I'm sorry, everyone. Sid, let's talk about the reception that Gareth Bale got. His first home game, of course, I think in over a year, I read. That's quite something. The reception expected.
Well, it's the first time he's played here in 2 years.
Wow.
More than 2 years, actually. 2 years and 2 months. The last time he played here, you may remember this, was pre-pandemic against Manchester City in the Champions League when Real Madrid lost 2-1. He hasn't been here since. Of course, partly that's because Real Madrid have been at Valdebeba since then, and of course because he went on loan to Spurs. We were sitting behind the goal that he was attacking. When he came on, there was quite a lot of whistling. It wasn't quite as fierce as I thought it would be. It was a lot. But it wasn't quite as fierce as I thought it would be. And I think it quite quickly, I wouldn't say it changed as such, but it is true that there were some people in the ground who I think had taken the decision that, OK, we've had our say, we've had our whistle, now let's at least either back off a little bit or just kind of try and remind him that he's here to play for us. And so there were a couple of times when he did a couple of very simple things. There was a very small smattering of applause. And when he had that shot, for example, and the header, certainly from behind the goal that he was attacking, there was a relatively positive response. But it is true that the first time, and I shouldn't laugh really, but it is true that the first time he got the ball and he went running up this wing, someone behind me did shout, "Run, you dog."
Well, I'm glad you said dog. Luis, why did Ancelotti choose now to do this?
I don't really know. Maybe because he wants to give it some minutes. Maybe in case that he need him for next season in Champions League. Maybe because he wants to try to recover him for the rest of the season. If they might need him in some players and rest on the... thinking about the future if they continue in Champions League. That's the only way, because expose a player that you know that is going to have this reception at the Bernabeu at this moment. I think you don't need to do that. We've seen something similar on Dembélé's side in Barcelona, but it was a totally different situation. It's just because he wasn't recovering, but not because he hasn't been playing there. And Xavi was very carefully choosing the moments when to use it, because at the end, is trying to give confidence to the player to build that something. So that's why I'm surprised that he used or decided to use him for tonight's game.
Why do you think, Sam?
Well, I think in a way, I mean, I don't want to be kind of almost too smart about it, but it seems to me there's a very basic, very simple answer, which is he's available now and you might need him. You might need him because you do not trust your other forwards. We've seen that Ancelotti has no faith at all in Mariano, has no faith, very little faith in Jovic as well. And so if he's looking at this and thinking, look, at some point we might need another forward, that probably has to be Gareth Bale. And so I think in that sense, and everything Louis says is completely right, but I think in that sense you maybe look at this and think, well, I'm going to have to put him on at some point. I suppose today, a very comfortable game, a game where everybody in the stadium, I think, was very conscious, and you noticed this in the last 20 minutes or so, that they are building towards the Chelsea game. So there was a sense of kind of trying to get behind the team. And maybe that was a good time to put Bale in, because you're doing it at a time when people are saying, OK, let's remind these guys that we're going to support them in midweek. And so I guess given that you feel that you have to do it at some point, the answer, I suppose, is, well, why not?
Let's talk about that Chelsea game in a little more detail, shall we? Real Madrid, of course, favourites after that 3-1 victory at Stamford Bridge, thanks to that Karim Benzema hat-trick for Chelsea. Now, they come into this game, obviously, off the back of that 6-0 win against Southampton. Luis, how much of a difference does that result make looking ahead to this tie now midweek?
I think that huge, huge difference. Even though that the people will say, no, come on, but they play against a team that is in a tough situation, that they are not, they didn't put a good performance. Still, I think for the players' perspective, to have a win like this one give you so much belief, so much power, so much boots to go to the Bernabeu and say, listen, we know that we can do it. We've done it before. We got the quality. We got the talent. The only thing we have to do is bring that intensity up to believe that we can do it, because against this Real Madrid, they saw it. Paris Saint-Germain overpassed Real Madrid at the stadium of France. So at the end, these kind of moments, you know, they can happen to this Real Madrid. And we've seen it not long ago against Celta Vigo just a couple of weeks ago. So they know that they arrived to the Bernabeu with that intensity, with that confidence on having the ball. This is a team who can be very dangerous. Of course, it's only two goals. We are not talking about that they have to score four or five. It's only two goals. And you can score one in the first half, one in the second half, and it's open tie. So I think they start believing that they can do something.
Former Barcelona midfielder Luis Garcia confident that Chelsea can get back into this tie, Shaq. Obviously a big response against Southampton, considering what happened midweek.
And needed. And listen, and I think you saw the frustration in Thomas Tuchel in that interview after the Real Madrid game. And I think a lot of his comments were not aimed at, or particularly when he asked if Chelsea have any chance of coming back and him saying no. I think it was more to the point of that Chelsea that we've seen then, that Chelsea that we've seen against Brentford. He wanted a response from them against after the Brentford result. Didn't get it. Equally poor performance against Real Madrid. Now he has got this team back in the mood, in the situation that he hoped to get back then. And maybe, just maybe, it's enough for them to get the better of Real Madrid at the Bernabeu. It's a taller order. We know that. But at least this is a Chelsea team that have, seem on the showing of this 90 minutes, rediscovered their best form. And that's all you can ask in trying to overturn a tie like this, to be in your best form and then hope that your game plan and the individual stand up.
From a Real Madrid perspective, it kind of works out well as well. Said in the sense, you can go, well, look, they've just put six past Southampton. Don't start getting complacent.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. I think Real Madrid's mindset will presumably be, when they see that result, I assume they already have, but even before tonight, will be to look at it and go, so what? So what? It's a different game. It's a different environment. Hopefully that might even make them think they're better than they really are. And I don't think it changes anything from Real Madrid's point of view. It certainly is true that Real Madrid know they're in a strong position, but I don't think they were going to be complacent anyway. That might well be a little bit of a reminder from their point of view. But more than anything else, I think they'll look at it and think, this doesn't really change anything. Whether at some subconscious level, and obviously Luis and Shaq are much better prepared and positioned to answer this than I am, whether if at subconscious level for Real Madrid it makes a difference, I don't know, but I must confess, I don't think it changes anything for Real Madrid.
Sid Lowe and Luis Garcia, as always, thank you very much. The action continues on ESPN Plus from Spain tomorrow. Levante taking on Barcelona. Barca, of course, big favourites going into that tie. You can join us for pre-match coverage at 2:30 Eastern on ESPN Plus.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Meanwhile, at the top of the table, as I mentioned, Atleti then one clear of Real Betis for that place in the Champions League. For Atleti, their attentions now turn to that second leg against Manchester City, the English side, big favourites to advance to the semi-finals. Earlier, I caught up with Luis and Sid, and I asked Luis whether or not the criticism that we have weighed at Atletico Madrid after their flat performance at Manchester City was justified.
I understand it. It's not that I agree or not. I understand that some people doesn't enjoy watching Atletico Madrid. It's not the most beautiful play on the field about this Atletico Madrid side. We've seen good games, not many, because Atletico Madrid doesn't play this way. But definitely it wasn't the way that we were expecting. Of course, against Manchester City, you know that you have to be 100% no mistakes. You cannot give them anything. The moment that you have won, they're going to punish you and they're going to capitalize that. And that's what they've done. A lot of ability and talent from Foden and De Bruyne. And at the end, you get that one goal that probably is going to give them so much advantage, because then you have to open when you are back home. You need to try to get the equalizer of the tie. And that's not going to give you any advantage, because Manchester City is going to be waiting to use those spaces. But Atletico Madrid knows how to deal. It's true that today it was, again, one of those bad games, one of those games that they you'd never see that it was coming, even though that against Aguirre, you know that you're going to find that. But I still think that even though the Manchester City is favourite, this tie is open. Then Simeone knows. He's got talent, so much talent. And that's why I think that they can do something. Still favourite for Manchester City. They are going to have a lot of work to do if they want to get something in Atletico Madrid.
It's interesting, Sid, speaking to some Atleti fans, and they're like, we don't care what you think. We really don't. They almost relish this kind of this villain mentality that people have of them.
Yeah, and bear in mind that we've been talking about this all season, haven't we? We've been talking about Atletico's identity and trying to find themselves again. And a couple of weeks ago, we were celebrating the fact that they'd found this side of them, you know, going back to being the bad guys, going back to being defensively strong. And I think one of the things that we have to bear in mind, and Luis was hinting at this, I think, in terms of that analysis of how they played in the first leg, it's the first leg. It's half-time. So you look at this and you say, well, Atletico Madrid didn't try and do anything. No, what they tried to do was get to half-time at 0-0. Now, they failed in that sense, but they're still close enough that they will feel that they're in this, and they will feel that looking at this tactically, if they'd opened up against Manchester City, they wouldn't have a chance in the second leg. They now have. And I must admit, I have my doubts in the second leg about how much Atletico Madrid open up, or maybe more to the point, how soon Atletico Madrid open up. I don't think they'll come out. I mean, I may well be proven wrong here, but I don't think they'll come out and go for Man City from the very start. I think they'll be very conscious that it's still only one goal in this.
Then after that game, it's the FA Cup semi-final. Oh, it's very royal music. I don't think the Queen will be there. It's Manchester City against Liverpool, and it's live next Saturday here on ESPN+.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Meanwhile, don't have to be a mathematician to work this one out. Inter won today. They beat Bologna, meaning that Verona, moving up to second in the table. So 1 point adrift now of AC Milan. Oh, Don's with us. Don, who's going to win the title?
I think Inter, with no confidence whatsoever, because it's a three-horse race. I'm not sure Juve have got it in them to mount a challenge. They're in good form, granted. But I think Inter, because they went to Juve last week. They went to Turin, beat them in a great game, fantastic game of football, but it was a proper marker. You look at the top four sides, and apart from Napoli, Roma, in a couple of weeks' time, you'd look at the fixtures from now to the end of the season, and all four on paper are very winnable, all easy fixtures. So Milan slipped up last Monday. They drew against Bologna. I think it's going to be Inter. I think they've got the strongest squad, and I think they've got momentum. They beat Verona today, backed up the win against Juve. So I think they're carrying a little bit of momentum, and all of a sudden the feel-good factor's back at Inter, I think.
Thank you very much, Don. Don will be back with us for extra time, which, as always, you can check out over on our YouTube channel. Meanwhile, in the Bundesliga, Bayern Munich taking on Augsburg. Bayern looking to re-establish that 9-point lead at the top of the table after Dortmund's victory yesterday. They'd have to wait a long time for the goal, which will come via a penalty that was awarded. Handball against Reese Oxford. Harsh?
A little bit harsh, yes, but the arm is extended and I don't think the referee had a choice but to point to the spot. If you're Augsburg, it's a soft one to concede given the set piece, nobody picking up Alfonso Davies. Then the resulting handball, and you know about Lewandowski from 12 yards.
Yeah, Lewandowski keeps his cool then. 9 points, the difference between Bayern and Borussia Dortmund in second. Jan Arge Fjortoff is back with us. Jan, tell us about Bayern today.
That was a normal day at your office. And Markus Weinziel, the manager of Augsburg, that had a tendency to beat Bayern, so they were a bit aware of him as he has played for them before. But this game was all about after Villarreal and before Villarreal on next week, because the whole season, the whole success of a Julian Nagelsmann will stick to that result. If they got knocked out by Villarreal, I mean, that will be a bad, bad season for Bayern, because you expect them to, one, win the Bundesliga. They will. They're out of the German Cup after being hammered by Borussia Mönchengladbach. And to be knocked out by Villarreal with the history of this club, that is not acceptable. So today was just one of those days. Go to the office, get 3 points. And when you have Robert Lewandowski, I mean, that was a penalty. And he didn't have a lot of chances today, but he scored 32 goals this season. So he got 6 games to beat his own record that sensationally beat Gerd Müller's record. So he is always on fire.
Bayern are big favourites to advance despite that 1-0 deficit going into the second leg at the Allianz Arena. 3-1 on, Villarreal 9-4. What has to change for them to get the result, Jan? Because it won't just be a case like Salzburg, will it? Of just turning up and it will happen?
Well, that is the big thing that you shouldn't think so, because there is no way that Villarreal with Emery will come and play so naive as Salzburg did. They wanted to attack Bayern at Allianz. Emery is very wise. He's very experienced. And today as well, I think he swapped his whole team to rest them ahead of this game. And I think that you will see on Bayern that they feel a bit under pressure now. There have been a lot of things going on in and around the club, as there are with the contract extension and everything. And what was quite surprised me at in Spain in the first game was as Thomas Müller and Lewandowski didn't turn up. I think they got stuck at the airport. I didn't see them at all. And that is not usual, because you always expect those two, Kimmich and Neuer, to be there. So, I mean, with Emery, I think that is the biggest threat, because he somehow will find a plan. His European plans are always good, aren't they?
Certainly are. Goodness me, what a match that is going to be. Meanwhile, this was hard to watch earlier, just yesterday, wasn't it? Gio Reyna in action, Dortmund winning the game, but this is very much the negative. Gio Reyna coming off in tears. It has been a season that has just been ravaged by injuries. What's the latest, Jan?
Well, the latest is, first of all, that the medical staff at Dortmund is scandalous. So the main man in that medical team, which name I don't know, and I probably shouldn't have said it if I knew, because he must be useless, because sometimes they talk about Haaland's injuries, they talk about Gio Reyna's injuries, and you kind of want to explain to us that this is because they're young, they're coming back too early and so on and so on. But they had three at the game Friday. I mean, three players. Hummels went after halftime as well. And this bothered them because there are no club in the Bundesliga have so many players out there. You just feel for Gio Reyna. We remember for our own career, these kind of injuries, and you just wait and wait and then, okay, let's start. And then you get this going. Hopefully now they will rest him, they will strengthen him, and so we'll be ready for the new season and the World Cup, because this will go on and on. And I think that's sometimes they have hidden behind that these young kids are there and they're using other people. Erling Haaland has brought in his own physiotherapist because, well, he didn't like the guy who was there, more or less. So now they're gone, and the medical staff at Dortmund, they are not Champions League. They're not even in the Conference League.
Let's hope nothing ever happens to you and you need medical attention at Dortmund, Jan, because I feel they're just...
Sometimes you have to tell the truth, Dan, and it's all about, we always talk about players and we're all about coaches and everything, but you need to get these players the best possibility preparation. And if you get this after 1 minute in a game, what's wrong with the warm-up? What's wrong with the preparation before the game? It's not only down to an 18-year-old kid from USA.
No one's giving you the kiss of life. Jan, thank you very much.
Thank you, boys.
Just a reminder, the Bundesliga then continues tomorrow. Bochum in action against Bayer Leverkusen. It's Frankfurt, Freiburg, followed by Leipzig against Hoffenheim. All of these games available on ESPN+.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Stevie and Donna back, though, for extra time. Shaka with us as well. Stay with us. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Shaka Hislop is here, Don Hutchinson as well, as is Stevie Nicol. Stevie, you've got to show us your action figure behind you.
What? There's not a lot of action going on,
let's
tell you that.
Let's have a look. Look at that.
Hey.
Now, I noticed that during the show. So what did I do? I Googled the price of it. How much would you say that costs if I wanted to buy that now?
I'm going to go for
$19.99.
$19.99? Yes, as in
$19.99. It's a collector's item. Still in the box.
Yeah, but Stevie Nicol. I know Stevie. I know Stevie far too well to pay $20.
Okay, Don, what are you going for?
$2.
I can tell you, you could buy that now. A Kenaton Sports Stars carded action figure, Steve Nicol, parentheses Liverpool, for $60.
What?
What?
Whoa! Unlucky dog.
Sell it, Stevie. Sell it.
All the best.
Sell it, Stevie. Sell it. Sell it. Sell, sell, sell.
I want $40 change.
What if it was autographed?
Oh!
In shepherd's pie.
$59.
What?
Don, where's your action
figures? Just have two shepherd's pie stains on it. To make it authentic.
I've got them done.
Yeah?
I've got them done. They're in the garage. That's time you zoom in when I'm in the garage, I'll show you.
Your voice went quite a bit higher.
I've got them in the garage.
Alright. I'm gonna search the front.
They're on my little shelf behind me normally.
Uh-huh. I'm going to research those a bit.
He meant the Gary Sale. And they're still there.
They will be $2.
For Stevie, this is to what you referenced last week. It seems Cristiano Ronaldo's place loves to play as an invisible nine because you obviously can't see him on the pitch.
I mean, it's really sad that it basically is becoming invisible. I mean, you know, even some of the shots it gets off now, you can see physically how difficult it is for him now, because a guy whose body could do almost anything and get into any position to put a shot not just in target but in the back of the net, you can see him struggling now with the extra pace of the ball. And he's not going to be able to hide anywhere when he plays at Manchester United, especially when the team's horrible. So, yeah, I can honestly say I'm not enjoying watching him. And I kind of feel a little bad for him as well.
You know, it's a weird thing, and to Stevie's point, listen, we've always said that this Manchester United needs leaders, and you thought Ronaldo was going to be that. And even when they were struggling, you would still see him remonstrating, arguing with people alongside him. I mean, that's part and parcel of the game. But I don't recall him even getting angry during the game.
Well, allegedly he smashed someone's phone.
Well, but that's after. That's after. You know, here you have a player, again, who is in the discussion to have been the best I've ever played, certainly best of a generation, seen it all, won it all, and then this Manchester United has just taken all the wind out of his sails to the point where you can't even call this performance against Everton mediocre. As poor performance as that, he just doesn't seem like it looks like he's even thrown in the towel. And that's sad to see. It really, whether you're a Ronaldo fan or not, that's hard to watch.
I found it, Don.
Oh, go on.
Corinthians Pro Stars Platinum Edition, Don Hutchinson, parentheses West Ham, 360 Limited. What price are we going for, Stevie?
$2.
It's never a good sign when the shipping is more than the profit.
Hold on. You might actually get some change at your $2 as well.
What are you going for, Shaq?
I'm going to go for, well, seeing that you gave us a hint that the shipping is more than the...
Yes.
I'm going to go for $7.49.
Not bad. $9.99. Oh! Shipping is $24. Hey. And Don's is a lot tinier. His is a tiny figure compared to Stevie. Stevie's a proper action figure.
I don't know where you're going with that.
This
exactly.
This is just like a little one.
Where are you going with that?
I'm not going anywhere with it.
I know. I'm a little concerned as to where you're going.
Stevie's is proper.
Okay. All right.
Given the start of the season, Stevie, which accomplishment would be more impressive? Spurs finishing top four or Barca finishing second?
I think I'm going to go with Barca finishing second because, quite frankly, at one stage, I was thinking they might not even get a conference spot in Europe at one time. I mean, they were that bad. They were that disjointed and disorganised. And I would probably go with Barcelona. Yeah.
Don?
I think so. I think there was a point in the season when you were watching Barca and they were getting beat left, right and centre. They couldn't get any wins. They were losing heavily. Had no momentum. You think, this is a sad state of affairs. Barca not going to get top four. Barca not even going to get top six. So the turnaround has been astonishing since Xavi went in.
I found Shaka. So Stevie is $59. Don is $9.99. What are we going, Stevie?
I'm going to say 22.
Wow. Don?
I'm going to go 19.99.
The correct answer is £3.
Oh,
3 quid.
Is that with or without shipping? Is that with or without shipping?
It's only a little one as well, then.
He's got the freedom in Newcastle as well.
I have that on my desk.
Oh, you do, yeah?
Yes.
There you go.
I have that on my desk. It was worth every penny of the
£3. It's 3 quid. It's 3 quid if you come and pick it up yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Don, is Son the most underrated player in Europe right now? And is Kulusevski the best January signing?
Kulusevski, I think, is the best signing. I can't recall a million of them. I've done a million games in the last couple of months, so I can't think who else has come in.
Diaz has got to be up there for January signing.
Yeah. Aubameyang.
Yeah.
Aubameyang's not done bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What was the first part of the question?
Moving on, Your Honour.
I've had to watch Arsenal today, Dan. It's late.
Oh dear, Don's in a mood. Don, when's the baby coming?
I'm joking.
Monday,
Dan.
Wow. Monday. Blooming heck, mate.
Monday.
Good luck. Will you be working Monday night? Will you be here?
If I get the call, I'll be on standby Monday night for sure.
Yeah, well, good luck. Good luck with that. Are you taking any time off, Don, to help?
No. Straight back to work. You know. I'm hard as nails. I can go back to work.
I'm hard as nails. Joking, yeah, it's really going to be hard for you.
You're not doing anything here, right?
I'm joking.
Well, if you're looking for a nice, you know, birthday gift for the missus, $9.99 plus shipping.
Yes!
You can get an action figure
of
yourself.
Or a Stevie Nicol and a Shaka for a combined... what was it? Combined 63?
That's right. We even throw one of me.
Is Son the most underrated player in Europe right now, Don?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Everyone talks about Harry Kane every single summer. When's he going to move on? Where's he going to go?
Well, you do that.
No one ever mentions Son. Yeah, but no one mentions Son, do they? You know, he'd get in Man City's team over Jack Grealish, over Sterling. Before Liverpool signed Diaz, he would probably got in the Liverpool team over Mane. Incredible player.
For all, I know what Stevie's answer will be. Did you ever prepare differently for a massive game such as City versus Liverpool game tomorrow, Stevie?
Absolutely not.
And that was on purpose as well, Stevie, yeah?
Well, it wouldn't make any sense not to do what you normally do. The whole point of preparing for games is that you figure out as soon as you possibly can when you're a pro what suits you best, and then you follow it regardless of who the opposition is.
You said before when Newcastle started to go on that bumpy run, Keegan started trying different things, and that just
started doing different things in training and that just throws everything off, because then the pressure does.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, as a player, you're recognising, hold on, we never used to do this on a Friday, for argument's sake, and all of a sudden we're doing it, and you as a player recognise that the manager, the pressure's getting to the manager, you start to feel it. To Stevie's point, the aim is for you to be at your absolute best every single week, regardless of who the opponent is. And you get into that rhythm, that routine, and you stick to it.
I played with a guy called Graham Hogg, right, who was at Manchester United when Big Ron was there and Mark Hughes was there. And the first game of the season, the two of them went out on the Thursday night, Hoggy and Mark Hughes, and they got drunk.
Oh.
And they won on the Saturday, so they thought, you know what? Let's go back out this Thursday as well. Anyway, Manchester United went, I think they went 10 or 11 games undefeated at the start of the season. I think it was like 84 or something, or 85, something like that. And so for about 10 weeks in a row, every Thursday night, the two of them were coming home like that. What? Do you think we've had the same as we had last week? Right, let's do it again. Until they lost, and then they stopped going out on a Thursday night.
And that's it. Then they went Friday night. Don?
Yeah.
See, I was a little bit scatty in the dressing room the hour and a half before kickoff. And Shaka will tell you, I remember seeing one of the lads having a hot bath and not going out for a warm-up, so I thought, I'll have a little bit of that, I'll have a hot bath. And it worked, went out there, played really well. So the week later, I'd done the same thing, had a hot bath, went out there, played terrible. So the week after that, I thought, well, I won't have a hot bath, I'll have a shower. That worked, I played really well. The following week, I had a shower, didn't work. So I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Just get me out there.
Oh, God. Stevie, who is more likely to turn their tie around and progress, Atletico Madrid or Chelsea?
You know, see, the problem is, I was going to say Atletico, but the problem is they've done this before. Sorry. Well, they've done this before. I told you last week, they got absolutely annihilated last year by Liverpool and somehow got through. Mm. So they're capable. I don't see Chelsea winning 3-0.
They only have to win 2-0.
I don't see it.
2-0
will
do it. 2-0
will
do it.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's hard to separate these two.
It's Chelsea,
you know
Stevie.
What? I'm going to
Stevie, it's Chelsea.
Here.
Stevie, it's Chelsea.
It's Chelsea.
It's
you're
Chelsea,
right. It's Chelsea.
Yeah.
You're right.
Don,
yeah, I'm going to go Chelsea.
Don, if you have a game and you have to pick a number 9 for your team, who would it be? Prime Suarez or Prime Benzema?
Ooh.
Whoa, wowzers.
That's kind of not even fair.
Benzema.
I don't want to play
Benzema?
That
game.
Benzema.
Why?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of them, isn't it? You toss the coin, and if I'm not picking Benzema and Stevie's picking the other side, he's taking Suarez. The both of them are just amazing. But I think Benzema, not sure goal tally and goal numbers, how much they've got over their career, but I think in the biggest of games, I fancy Benzema might get the goals in the big games. And I'm not doing Luis Suarez down whatsoever, but when he was scoring threes and fours against the likes of Norwich, and yes, he scored some amazing games and some massive games, my perception of Benzema is scoring in the very biggest of games. Could be wrong.
Stevie?
Benzema.
Shaka.
I'm in.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to play this game. Ah.
It's got to be Benzema, isn't it?
It doesn't have to be. I mean, forget how good Suarez was, you know. I mean, it's easier to say Benzema now because we're still seeing Benzema now. But remember Suarez for not just Barcelona, but Liverpool.
And he won the title with Atletico.
I always thought that when it came to Benzema having to lead the line when Ronaldo left, I didn't think he was capable. I didn't think he could score the goals. I thought he was absolutely brilliant setting Ronaldo up. Great fall for Ronaldo, the whole thing. But what he's done since Ronaldo's gone, I mean, seriously, that's unbelievable.
He could add another 100 goals to his Real Madrid career. The amount of stuff he done and work he done for Ronaldo.
Shaka, how does a goalkeeper bounce back from conceding 6 goals in a game? Is it Fraser Forster today?
I think Fraser Forster is experienced enough to know you just take those things on the chin. These things happen. The worst thing you could do as a goalkeeper, and this kind of ties in with preparation, the worst thing you could do is try to change your training routine or something of the sort. Just do what you've always done and trust in that. From the time you start chasing things, start coming up for crosses that you're not supposed to, it just spirals downhill from there. Just do what you've always done.
Final question. Why did they put this in? To all of you, what was your favourite non-football activity during your playing days? Okay. Right. Don.
See, I love my golf.
Golf, yeah. Shut up, Stevie.
Me and Michael Hughes, who used to play for West Ham, little tricky winger, Irish lad, me and him were really, really, really good snooker players.
Oh,
like talking 70s and 80s breaks.
Oh.
So Steve Davis's snooker place in Romford, just around the corner, Me and Michael Hughes used to go there on a random Tuesday, Wednesday night. And we were going every week, so we got to know the guy that was working there late on. And one night we said to the guy, would you mind if you shut the doors and lock up at like, say, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, whenever he finished, but me and Michael Hughes are gonna stay on and we're gonna play snooker all the way through the night until you come back in the morning at 9 o'clock and open the doors again. Leave the fridge open, we'll pay for Mars bars and crisps and Coke, whatever we had, whatever we were drinking and eating. And he did.
Mars bars.
And me and Michael Hughes played first to 20 from, I don't know, 7 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night till 9 o'clock in the morning.
Who won?
Me. It was something like, it was some, and no jokes, it was something like 2019.
Wow.
Like 19 all. And the two of us have got like knackered trying to play the final frame.
Craig played snooker. He had a snooker play, snooker table in his place, and he told me. He used it really? Once. Very Craig. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not for you. Stevie?
Calling for a refreshment.
Yes, away from refreshments, what about an activity like Don Partey took in? Pool, darts, snooker, I imagine any pub activity you were there.
It was all the guys. We once, my mate had a hotel in the wee village where I lived. And he was also a member of the Hazel Golf Club. And him and I, so many times, we tried to kid ourselves on that we were going to go and play golf. We went down the first hole, and when you go down the first, the 18th is coming back the other way. So we very regularly, we play two holes, we go down the first, we'd be on the green, he'd look at me, I'd look back at him, we'd go, all right, and then we go to the 18th, and then we go for a refreshment.
That was it.
I just went
boating.
And,
boating, obviously.
I just went and raised my kids, Daniel.
Oh, you must have done something else.
Nope. Never did. I did nothing else but be a father to my children.
Well, you do have many children.
I have five. Let's just make sure. I'm...
Five is many.
Yes, I know, but let's just. The way you see it.
What do you mean?
It's all suggestive.
It's all suggestive.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You've read in between the lines of this stuff.
No, I'm just saying. I know what you like.
Ah, that is it.
How did you get them all in your Lamborghini? How did you get five kids in a Lamborghini?
Dragged by. We have a surprise apparently at the end. Let's see what the surprise is.
Hey!
There it is.
That's not the one I have. I have a Newcastle.
Oh.
Where's that?
What's that on your face?
That's Dr. Martin. That's West Ham.
Yeah, that's the West Ham, but I have a Newcastle at the desk.
Well, that's all right. Well, it's probably not your desk then. It's somebody else's desk.
Well, who's got a statue of me on the desk?
Well, I don't know.
What kind of weirdo is that?
Hey! It's Dom.
Wow. What are you looking at? I can't even see anything.
$24 shipping for that.
They had a little mini statue of me, and now they've got the pro stars of Dom.
Oh. I love Stevie trying to look.
I can't see anything.
What's going on?
I can't see anything.
Oh, dear. That's all right. It's a terrible picture of Don. That is it. We are done. Thank you very much. Don, good luck on Monday, mate. I hope it all goes well.
Cheers, boys.
Are you here tomorrow, Dan?
Lots of love. I'm not here tomorrow, Shaka. I'm on holiday.
Hey!